What's up, gamers, and welcome to Lost at Sea Gaming. I am Hulking Yoda, the captain of this ship, the SS Gamer, and you have just stepped into my captain's quarters, my weekly gaming update show where I talk about my favorite gaming news topic of the past week, discuss what games I've been playing, give tips on some of those games, as well as issue a weekly relevant gaming-related decree. This week, it's all about my hype around The Last of Us. So let's talk about it and dive right into the episode with my news catch of the week. Gamers, I would like to think of my relationship with The Last of Us as a brand as an interesting one. You know, for me, it started, as so many interests in games have over the past 20 years or so, it started for me with the cover story of the Game Informer magazine that first debuted The Last of Us many, many years ago. So, of course, the original game came out on PS3 way back in 2013. And, I mean, man, that cover story just absolutely gripped me, and I was without a doubt massively interested in playing this game. I mean, obviously, it was based on my love of Naughty Dog and the Uncharted series, first and foremost, my interest, that is, because Uncharted was my absolute favorite PlayStation franchise at that time. Naughty Dog was just on a high note for me because I loved the Jak and Daxter games on PS2. I loved the Uncharted series so far on PS3. And to see what they were planning on doing with The Last of Us at the very end of the PS3's life cycle, I was massively interested. So, like any good gamer in the early 2000s would do, I ended up deciding to go ahead and pre-order my copy on Amazon, because at that time, Amazon had a pretty good deal. You know, you pre-order a game, you get a $10 credit for your next purchase. So essentially, it's almost like you save 10 bucks off of every game if you pre-ordered it through Amazon. Plus, they had release date delivery. So for me, it was a win-win situation. I don't got to go to GameStop, which before Amazon, that was my go-to. I still went to the store and traveled there in a car and got my game physically and came back home and installed it and all of that goodness that we no longer do, myself included. But I had not made the transition to digital yet. So for me, that is what my decision was. Man, I definitely want this game. I'm pre-ordering it. Boom, here we go. Well, the problem for me as gamers is back then I was absolutely obsessed with the Xbox brand and my Xbox 360 and GamerScore achievements, et cetera, et cetera. The only time I ever stepped away from my Xbox 360 was to play the Uncharted games. Now, don't get me wrong, I did dabble in Ratchet & Clank Future Tools of Destruction when it came out, Infamous, the original, when it first came out, Resistance 2, again, parts of my favorite franchises over the years on PlayStation, and newer franchises that were starting, like Infamous. Problem was, is I never stuck with them. I would be with them at launch, maybe within that first launch week. And no matter what, for whatever reason, that draw, that pull was so strong on me from the 360 that I went right back to it and never went back and finished those games. So it got closer and closer to the release of The Last of Us. And I started to try to rationalize things. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if it really makes sense for me to buy this game because I'm probably just going to start it and like every other new IP or non-Uncharted PlayStation game, I'm going to end up starting it, it's going to sit there and I'll never finish it, and it's just kind of a waste of, you know, 50, 60 bucks because at the time, brand new games, believe it or not, 50, 60 bucks. So I made the decision to cancel my pre-order with Amazon. So Last of Us comes out. Of course, it goes on to be this just critically acclaimed game, massively popular with the gaming community, and especially with my very close friend, Graveyard Gamer from the Graveyard Gamer podcast, right here on Anchor and many other platforms. If you like my show, check him out. I promise you'll enjoy him just as much, if not more, than you enjoy me. Great guy. Man, he stuck with The Last of Us at the beginning and absolutely loved it. As well as another friend of mine, Linking Sponge. You can find him on Gaming with Mr. C on YouTube as well if you'd like to check him out. Regardless, those two guys stuck with The Last of Us. And for years, they told me, man, you gotta play it. We know the kind of games that you like. You're gonna love The Last of Us. I promise. Well, For years, I did not listen. I did not play The Last of Us. And I didn't get a PS4 at launch. I opted for an Xbox One. Again, I was massively obsessed with the Xbox brand. So at the launch of the Xbox One and PS4, I had to choose at that point in time. Financially, I could only get one. So I had to choose one. I got the Xbox One. And it wasn't until Uncharted 4 released that I actually finally purchased a PS4. And at that point, once I was pretty positive I was coming up on the end of Uncharted 4, I was enjoying my PS4 and I wanted some more experiences on it. So guess what game that my two buddies were recommending to me? You gotta play it, man. Now's the time. Well, The Last of Us had actually been remastered on PS4 at this point. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to finally do this. And so I did. I purchased the remastered PS4 version of The Last of Us. Came with the Left Behind DLC. Gamers, I am so glad that I did, because I would be really, really upset with myself right now if I had never played that first game. Not only was it just an amazing game, as everybody said that it was, the characters of Joel and Ellie and their journey across the U.S. and just the tone of the story and the seriousness of it. And man, it was just so many different elements and themes that it touched on. And it was done in such a way that was so unique, in my opinion, at that time with gaming and the way they created the clickers. And oh man, just Naughty Dog again at the top of their craft. Well, absolutely loved The Last of Us. So when it came time for Last of Us Part 2 to come out, obviously I pre-ordered that digitally, and I was not going to cancel this pre-order. I was going to be there day one, second one, if I could. Well, Last of Us Part 2 comes out. Absolutely loved Part 2. Don't know that I would say I enjoyed it more than Part 1, but still, absolutely amazing game. Phenomenal, phenomenal experience and story. Well, then we get the news that The Last of Us is being made into an HBO TV show. Man, that's awesome, because for me, a lot of things were positive about that. I do think that the story and the world of The Last of Us benefits most from being an ongoing series as opposed to trying to limit it to a 2-hour movie. So I think that you give the opportunity for the characters and that world that is so amazing and that everybody loves so much from The Last of Us. You give it the opportunity and the time to be able to be fleshed out and these characters to really get attached to you. And that's why I was excited. Plus, HBO, they don't hold anything back. And with The Last of Us, I mean, there's some pretty gruesome stuff in that first game and the second game especially. I mean, there's just a lot of content in those games that really, you got to have it on a channel like HBO to be able to really do the source material justice. So I was excited. Well, I got to tell you, going forward with the TV show, I was absolutely shocked, kind of caught off guard, to be honest with you, with the casting decisions. I'm kind of skipping forward in time here. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on all the little details along the way. So when it came to the casting announcement of Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey as Joel and Ellie, I'll be honest with you, I liked each of them individually for other roles that they had done. Bella Ramsey obviously was really cool in Game of Thrones. Pedro Pascal, even though you don't see his face, I still enjoyed what he has done and how he brought the character of the Mandalorian to life. But again, that's not who I saw as first choice of me, at least, as being these characters that I loved over the course of these two games and being able to portray them correctly or the way that I would have envisioned them to be portrayed on TV in a live action, real life scenario. Well, as time went on, we finally started to get images that leaked out of what they look like in costume, on set. And then you started getting promotional material, the posters, and finally we got trailers. And man, gamers, it was just, I couldn't ask for what looked like was going to be no better option than these two to portray these characters. Well, I'm here in this episode. I just absolutely had to share my opinion of the first episode of the show. And man, if you are a fan of the series, and especially of that first game. A lot of people walked away from the second game not as much of a fan. But if you love that first game, this first season of The Last of Us, it follows that storyline of the first game. And it starts out just like the game with Sarah, Joel's daughter. And again, there's some spoilers in here. So if you haven't seen the show or if you haven't played the game and you don't want to be spoiled, go ahead and skip ahead in the episode at this point. But I feel like the game has been around for just about a decade now. And that story has been out there. And man, it was just, I was absolutely impressed and so relieved watching this first episode with how well they executed it. Now, I know Neil Druckmann, the creator or co-creator of Last of Us and the writer of both, I know he's very heavily involved with the creative process on the TV show. So maybe that's why. Maybe he was making sure that things were not taken out of context, that the things that could transition well to a visual medium that's not interactive, they stayed, but other things that were better suited for an interactive medium, you know, let's keep those out, or let's, you know, make those adaptable to TV in some way. I.e., if you didn't know, the virus in the TV show is not transmittable via spores as it is in the game. It is actually tendrils that transfers the virus. And the reason why it was done is a practical reason, and one I can buy into and I'm okay with, is because if you played the games, you know that you have to put on gas masks in these very spore-heavy areas. Well, to have the cast in the show covering their faces and wearing gas masks for extended amounts of time, it just probably wouldn't go over too well with the actors. Or, you know, to see their faces covered up for half an episode, that wouldn't be entertaining or as entertaining for us to be able to identify with facial expressions and things like that as an audience. So I understand the reason why they opted out of the spores. I know there was some little minor controversy about the decision online, but I personally, I'm okay with it. I understand why. And I'll be honest with you guys, the tendrils in the show, man, they're creepy. And I love the way they look coming out of the mouths of certain characters and the way that they look when you're trying to eat another person or infect someone, man. But the show was just awesome. I love the way that they explained the virus and the cordyceps and the different things that can happen with fungi at the very beginning with a 1968 television show interview, basically, and two different scientists, one believing that, yeah, this could actually happen. The didn't say the words apocalypse and end of the world, but basically alluded to like, hey, yeah, if these things evolve the right way, we could lose. So it was a very interesting way and somber way to start out the show. But then we go into Joel and Sarah and the beginning of that day. If you've played the game or seen the show, you know what I'm talking about. Joel's birthday, one that he wishes was not his actual birthday after it's all said and done with. But, you know, we meet Tommy as well, Joel's brother. And man, the actor is doing a great job with his character as well, transitioning from the game to the small screen. But I just absolutely loved the chemistry between all three of them, Sarah, Joel, and Tommy. I thought they were expertly transitioned over to the TV show aspect of things. And then just getting a little bit more time with Sarah in the show than what we did with the game, I thought that was really crucial from a non-interactive storytelling standpoint. I love the fact that we got to see her throughout her day leading up to that night when things went down. And there's just a lot of creepy stuff in the episode as well. A part where it's been online a lot now. It's memed. It's just, and rightfully so. Man, it was a really creepy scene where she's sitting there and she's trying to pick out a DVD at a neighbor's house for her dad. And in the background, this older woman is just doing these like kind of convulsions and spasms with her mouth open. And it's really creepy. Obviously, the beginnings of her transformation. It was an awesome buildup to what ended up being a massively intense scene and expertly shot, almost shot for shot, from the game. The car ride from Joel and Sarah's house into the city, and then just leading up to that fateful moment where Joel is carrying Sarah, and man, the shots ring out. And we all know what happens after they roll down to the bottom of that hill. And that scene was done just as perfect as Troy Baker did it in the game by Pedro Pascal. Man, the emotion. The way it hit all the feels. And then we obviously go 20 years later. I love the actress who's been chosen to portray Tess. I think she's done a great job with her so far in this first episode. And just honestly, in general, I think they did the perfect adaptation, to be honest with you. I'm not going to go through the entire episode step by step with you. But man, up to the point where you flash forward 20 years later and then just seeing Joel and Ellie meet for the first time, and that was just perfect. Bella Ramsey is perfect as Ellie. I mean, she perfectly embodies that attitude that Ellie has. And one of the interesting things to me is they said that they didn't allow Bella Ramsey to play the game because they didn't want her to mimic the performance or the character or mannerisms of Ellie in the game in the show. So for her to have not played the game, supposedly, I think it's pretty awesome that she was able to pull out of essentially probably conversation with Neil Druckmann and just reading the script how to portray Ellie so perfectly, as to the point of how we all know her and love her. Same thing with Joel and Pedro Pascal. Man, he just nails the voice down. He's got that certain just commanding presence about him when he's on the screen, and just the perfect casting. So any doubt that I had at the announcement of the casting was 1,000% dispelled as I was watching the show. And I was pretty confident going into the episode anyways after watching trailers and seeing what they had done. I was like, yeah, this is going to be good. And it was. I mean, it was clearly, in my opinion, the greatest video game adaptation for TV so far. And, you know, I love the Halo TV show that came out last year. I know a lot of people knock it, but I actually really enjoyed the Halo TV show. But this was a step above. So I hope that it's a sign of good things to come when it comes to the God of War TV show coming from Amazon Prime a year or so. The Assassin's Creed TV series coming from Netflix, hopefully sooner than later. So all these different gaming TV shows that are being adapted, I hope that this is what we can expect. The quality, the level of quality that we can expect going forward. But I gotta say, as much as I absolutely loved the first episode, and I'm sure I'll continue to love the show as a whole as it continues forward, I gotta say that I could not resist the hype and my desire to play The Last of Us Part 1 Remake. Now, it came out in September of last year. Me and Graveyard Gamer discussed it and said, yeah, I don't know, $70. How much of a remake is it? Is it worth it? I don't know. I mean, we played this game. I don't know if it's worth playing over other experiences that are new or that we want to play instead right now. Yeah, sure, all that makes sense. But we also agreed with each other. We knew each other enough to say, when that show comes out, we are going to be massively driven to play that game. Well, Sony was nice enough to allow a game trial to be available, a 2-hour game trial for The Last of Us Part 1, the remake. So what did I do? I installed the game, and I only played about 20 minutes of it, but I played enough of it, and I got to the 20 years later point. I went through the first night that everything went to hell, and you play through rolling down the hill and Sarah's death. And then as soon as it got control of Joel, 20 years later, that's where I stopped. But graphically, man, gorgeous game. Photo mode is awesome. It has the lighting control where you choose the color of the light, the placement of the light. I mean, something that honestly I don't think I've experienced or had the opportunity to use in a photo mode since Miles Morales Spider-Man. But regardless, man, it is an awesome, awesome remake. And it was just so cool replaying those sequences right after seeing them live action. And just seeing how, again, I knew just by my memory and watching the episode how close it was to the game. But then to play the game right after watching the episode and truly seeing how close it was, like, oh man, that was nuts. So absolute mania right now with The Last of Us, with the TV show being so good and launching last week, the Part 1 remake being on the game trials if you're on PS Plus. It's a good time to be a Last of Us fan, I'll put it to you that way. And hopefully, honestly, I would love to see some kind of an announcement of a Last of Us Part 3. I know they're working on the multiplayer game, but I really want that single-player story-driven experience. That's what Last of Us is all about. But absolutely loving what's going on in the world of The Last of Us right now. So that's my news catch of the week. Now let's open up my captain's log and see what games I've been playing. Gamers, this past week, I played a new title that I have not touched. And honestly, It's probably been close to a year now since I last played it. So if you've been with me for that long, first off, thank you. But secondly, man, let's get into some NBA 2K22. Gamers, you are hearing correctly, and that's one reason why I tried to iterate the 22 of 2K, and the fact that it's not 2K23, the newest entry in the NBA series. And the reason why it's not is because I bought NBA 2K22 the first time it went on sale on the PS5 a year and a half ago, whenever it was, and I didn't really play a whole lot of it. I played a decent amount into my career mode and dabbled in my, you know, NBA, which is essentially a franchise mode, but I never really did too much else with it, and it just kind of sat there for a year. And mind you, 2K23 is on PS Plus as a game trial right now, so I could have taken the time and the space on my hard drive to install 2K23, but I was like, you know what? Why? I have 2K22 sitting there. There's nothing wrong with it, and I hardly played it. Why don't I just play this? Because I had a really, really massive hankering to just play some digital basketball. You ever get that hankering for a certain type or style of game that you just, oh man, I need to spend a couple hours and just play this, man. I got to scratch that itch. Well, that's exactly how I felt this past week with NBA 2K22. And what I ended up doing is I didn't want to go right back into my career mode, believe it or not. Now, I did play through an entire season and career and won the finals and everything in my career mode in NBA 2K20. I was not a fan of 2K21, very disappointed with that first next-gen entry, but 2K22, I opted to get back into it, and I did enjoy the My Career story more than I did in 2K21, so I played it a little bit longer than I did 2K21, but going into this after having not played it in a year, I was like, you know what, man, I just kind of want to play some basketball. And to be honest, in my career mode, my creative player was drafted by the New York Knicks, which, hey, no hate on New York Knicks fans, but I'm a 76ers fan. I live in Philly, so I'm all about the Sixers. Even though I was not drafted by the Sixers, I was still all right with it. I was like, you know what, I played through a season as them 2 years ago. I'll play through as a different team, whatevs. Well, I ended up... I just wanted to play as the Sixers, to be honest with you. That is my team. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start a new My NBA with the current roster of the 76ers. So that's what I did. I started a brand new My NBA. Oh boy, man, it took me some time to get my timing down again on the shot meter and just kind of getting the controls back and that muscle memory. But once I did, I was starting to have some fun with it again. And I played through a couple games in the My NBA. And it was pretty awesome after not having played as my Sixers for so long. But I did opt ultimately to go back to my career mode. And there was a couple of main story objectives that I had to do in the city. The massive open world, kind of a MMORPG setting for NBA 2K22. Where you can just kind of walk around, you can do side quests, you can interact with and talk to other NBA 2K22 players. But either way, I did the two objectives that I had to do, mostly because, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't play the next game on the season schedule until I did these objectives. So it was kind of annoying initially, but I was like, you know what, it gets me back out in the world again and, you know, kind of progressing, even though it's a little baby step progression. The storyline of MP, which is the name of the creative player in this game. But I did that so that I could play the next game in that season. And the goal right now is to get myself a starting position on that starting five rotation for the team. Well, the team that we played was not having it. I was not very successful with my character in that game. And let's just say that that was pretty much where I stopped at this week in NBA 2K22. I will say it was about 3 hours total that I put into it. And it was a fun 3 hours and kind of a retraining myself 3 hours, if you will. Again, trying to get that muscle memory and that skill set reawakened. But regardless, to just out of nowhere play the game that I hadn't in a year was pretty interesting. But this next game, it wasn't that long since I last played it. I actually talked to you about it last week, and that is Kirby and the Forgotten Land. Gamers, this past week, I put another hour and 15 minutes into that amazing Forgotten Land, running around with Kirby, floating around, or skating, figure skating around. If you listened to my episode last week, you'll know what I'm talking about. So I started out and I was in the natural plains, right? And I'd wanted to get to, if you remember, I was telling you, I really wanted to get to the boss, like the ultimate final boss of the natural plains. Well, I didn't do that last play session for the last episode, but I was able to do it for this play session in this episode. Gormando was the name of the boss in this area, and he was this massive giant ape, basically King Kong, but he was a little bit more cartoonish than King Kong, obviously. So it was a pretty fun boss fight, very basic. I mean, it's the first boss fight in the game, so of course, not going to be much crazy amount of skill required to just kind of stay away from his attacks, dodge left or right to get out of the way of his slamming fists, or if he's jumping at you, that kind of thing. And you just kind of attack him here or there when you find the opening. Pretty quickly, he's taken out, but it was a fun boss fight nonetheless. And before I went into the next area that opened up, I did want to go and try out the rest of the treasure roads, which are kind of like little side objective areas that open up, kind of like almost like a realm tear. That is what it looks like to me, that is spread throughout the different natural plains area. Every overall region, like the Highland Plains, I'll say, are the natural plains. I said that last episode, by the way. I kept calling it the Highland Plains, but it's actually called the Natural Plains. So the entire region of the natural plains, there's multiple realm tears, but they're called treasure roads. And they're essentially like little mini games where you have to do things within a certain time limit. And based on your time, if you beat the part time, you get more star coins. Well, the objective too is not just star coins here, but rare stones is really the motivation for going to those star road challenges or the treasure roads. And I'll get to what the purpose of those are here in a sec. But the bottom line is I went through and I did do and beat the part time and all of the treasure roads in the natural plains except for one. And it was just getting on my nerves. It was one of those things, I don't know if you guys do the same thing, but if you have something that's time-based objective and it's in this kind of a context, kind of like a mini game, if you're just trying to do it for the sake of the mini game, and at least for me, if I try 2, 3, 4 times and I'm not really gaining a massive amount of seconds off of my time previously towards the part time that I'm trying to get to, and I'm not really seeing each time a clear and obvious way to really massively shave off chunks of time, then I kind of move on. And that's kind of what happened here, is I tried it multiple times and it got to a point I was like, all right, I'm only really shaving off like continuously, consistently 2 or 3 seconds. So I'm not, and I was about 9 seconds off of par. So I was like, I'm not doing this right now. I want to go see what this next area is like. But before I did that, I did go back to the Waddle Dee town, which is the main town in the Forgotten Land that houses, obviously, the Waddle Dees. And the Waddle Dees are what you kind of rescue and find hidden throughout the different stages that you play through in the different regions. And as you rescue them, they come back to and repopulate the town. So as you go through the game, you obviously, just like most games, you'll unlock new shops and different things that you can interact with and Waddle Dees you can interact with in the town. So this time I went back and the weapon shop had opened up. And here you can actually purchase copy abilities of what you've already acquired, as well as evolve those abilities. So copy abilities, if you play Kirby, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's when you inhale a certain item that gives you the ability of a certain enemy type or something in the environment. So these copy abilities are now on display in this weapon shop, and you can purchase them if you don't want to go to the specific stage where you can find them. You can just purchase them right there. But the other bigger piece to this weapon shop is, like I said, you can evolve those abilities. And you can do that evolution by using star coins and rare stones. So there you go. The purpose behind those rare stones that you find on the treasure road challenges, that is what their purpose is to evolve Kirby's copy abilities. Now, for instance, what does that evolution give you? What kind of upgrade are you looking at for, say, the fire cap? Well, fire, essentially, it starts out, you just shoot some fireballs. Well, when you evolve it here at the weapon shop, it evolves into Volcano Fire. And what that does, you can do just a sustained rapid fire amount of fireballs. So it was pretty cool. Plus the cap looks different. So just a lot of little fun different tweaks there in that sense. So after I did what I wanted to do in Waddle Dee Town, I ended up going to the next region, and that is, oh man, Ever Bay Coast. Now, gamers, obviously, I have themed my podcast around the ocean and nautical things. So anytime in a game I get to a nautically themed area, I am massively excited. So when I saw the next area open up and saw that it was Ever Bay Coast and that it was all about tropical islands and just that was the theming, I was super excited. So I had to play through at least the next stage, the first stage of the region. I was not disappointed whatsoever. And I just got to say, the first stage was called the Abandoned Beach. And it was just a lot of fun. A lot of cool ways to get around. Kirby even got on this boat in different spots and was kind of sailing around through different areas. It was just a lot of fun, bottom line. A lot of cool new enemy types. Great level design. And I just got to say, the game is really a beautiful looking game. I mean, it's just a lot of fun to look at and to play. And I thoroughly enjoyed my hour and 15 minutes in it this past week. So this next game that I played was the last one that I'll discuss in this week's Captain's Log, but it's a big one, and that is A Plague Tale Requiem. Gamers, if you listened to last week's episode, you'll know that I had just recently last week got back to playing A Plague Tale Requiem due to the fact that I stopped and paused on it once God of War Ragnarok came out to just 100% focus most of my gaming time on Ragnarok. Well, once I finished up Ragnarok and got that beautiful platinum, I went right back to A Plague Tale Requiem and could not wait to get back to it and see where Amicia and Hugo's journey was taking them next. Now, when I last left you last week, I had gotten to chapter 11 and had already started kind of playing through into it a bit. This past week, I played 4.5 hours into the game for about 25 hours total, and that was actually enough time for me to beat the game. Now, I will say there are 17 chapters in the game. Being that I was on chapter 11, obviously you can figure that out. I completed 12 through 17 plus the rest of 11, and it was an awesome, awesome time. I mean, there was just a massive amount of story and lore, lots of questions, some answers for me as far as just this game, the potential future of the series. I mean, there's a lot there. So, man, I mentioned it last week. I did decide that I was going for a platinum pursuit to snag that amazing platinum trophy. So that is what else I was doing this past week in this game. I dropped probably close to 5 hours on a new game plus run. I'll be honest with you, though, it's a little bit longer than what I wanted to put into it because at 5 hours, honestly, I wanted to be done. I wanted to have that platinum. Well, let me kind of explain to you my scenario going into New Game Plus. This is what I needed to do and to accomplish in order to get that platinum trophy. Well, throughout my first playthrough, I had missed 3 out of 10 of the secret chests in the game. I had maxed out the prudence or stealth playstyle, but there were still two other playstyles, aggressive and opportunism, that I needed to max out, each with their own trophy once you max them out. I also had to max out the upgrades for the gear option. And then there was a trophy at the very first chapter for shooting all pine cones that are sent down the river with my sling. And snagging the 3 souvenirs that I missed over the course of 3 different chapters. So in that 5 hours, what I've been able to do and accomplish so far, I did go ahead and take care of the pine cone trophy in the first chapter. I have gotten 2 out of the 3 missed souvenirs. I maxed out the gear and got that trophy. And I've actually played the game all the way from the beginning, pretty deep into chapter 6. Now, I've also made significant progress in those aggressive and opportunism playstyles, but I'm still just not quite there yet. And what sucks about that is, you know, there's only so many opportunities for you to upgrade and increase the level or the blocks that are in these different categories based on how many enemies that you take out or don't. And I kind of broke that down for you last week in that episode, so I don't want to rehash that this week. But let me just say that it's It's taken a bit longer for me to do the Platinum Pursuit than what I really was hoping for. So next week, I should be able, I'm very confident that I will be able to report to you a successful Platinum Pursuit and a Playtale Requiem. But regardless, this week, unfortunately, I am not able to do so. But that was what I played and what my Captain's Log consisted of this past week. But out of all of that, what was my highlight of the week? Gamers, I had a lot of fun with a lot of different game styles this past week, but there has to be one highlight. And for me, it was simply completing a Playtale Requiem. Now, don't get me wrong, I would have loved to have said in this highlight, hey, completing the game as well as getting that beautiful platinum trophy, but it wasn't meant to be. Regardless, A Playtale Requiem was just an awesome experience, and coming off of Innocence last summer when I finally finished it and the amazingness that it was, super stoked going into this past October with Requiem's release, and I was absolutely not disappointed, and it was just an awesome run. And I can't wait to get my detailed thoughts into review form for you, which will hopefully be out within the next couple of weeks for you to listen to and just really allow me to kind of deep dive into the game, the positives, and believe it or not, some of the few negatives that I had with it. But overall, amazing experience and easily my highlight of the week, completing that journey for Amicia and Hugo. Now, let's go check out some buried treasure gaming tips that I have for you in A Playtale Requiem. Gamers, I kind of touched on a few reasons why going for the Platinum right now has been a little bit frustrating for me in A Playtale Requiem. So I figured this week I would kind of explain some tips for you if you were interested in going after that Platinum Trophy or all 1000G on the Xbox in A Playtale Requiem. So first off, we got to talk about those play styles. I will recommend 1000% start the game playing from an opportunism standpoint. I personally feel like it's the easiest to go after and also the hardest to try to have to play through a new game plus second playthrough. You're going to have to play much longer into the game on a second playthrough if you don't do opportunism your first time. Then I would say go for prudence, which is the stealth style, and whatever's left in the game at that point, I would just focus on aggression, just kill everybody, because that would make it what I would consider, knowing what I know now, a pretty quick and easy new game plus run if all you're doing is just running through and killing every enemy that you come across at every encounter. If that's all you got to do, that's perfect. You don't have to sneak. You don't have to count how many people you kill and, oh man, I killed one too many, because that happened to me as well. I was in an area that I should have gotten opportunism points, but I killed one too many enemies because I lost track of how many it was, and I ended up getting points added to the aggressive meter. Regardless, the other big thing I would tell you to do here on your New Game Plus playthrough is to turn invincibility mode on, because that really prevents you from wasting a lot of time on annoying deaths from soldiers. Now, you can still die in the game. Rats and fire will still kill you, but soldiers, they can stand there and kick you to the ground and knock you into hell with an axe and do everything they want to, but you won't die. So essentially, if you really wanted to, you could just run past enemies in certain areas to get to the next area. Sometimes, obviously, there are certain transitional doorways or passageways that you have to be enough distance between you and the soldiers in order to initiate that transitional scene. Otherwise, if the soldier's too close, they're going to grab you and you can't go through to the next area. So just make sure if you are running through on invincibility mode that you are far enough away from the soldiers that you're going to be able to get through to the next area. I would also recommend obtaining as many pieces, is what they're called, as possible on your first playthrough. Now, pieces are what you need to upgrade your gear, your sling, so on and so forth. The reason I say this is because I got all the way to the end of the game and I was nervous that I wasn't going to find any more pieces, and I didn't. I had literally two or three pieces that I needed to max out the last upgrade in the game for the gear. That was it. That's all I had. Two, three pieces. Well, I'm thinking, okay, New Game Plus, first time I come across some pieces, they usually come in bundles of five. I'll be able to max it out because guess what? I also unlock the ability to where I don't require workbenches and tools in order to upgrade my stuff. Well, gamers, I'm here to tell you, on New Game Plus, first off, you can't upgrade anything until you come to the first workbench in the game, which is not until, I want to say, Chapter 4. So even though you unlock that ability in the first playthrough, and this is New Game Plus, that ability does not supersede the overall game design of, yeah, you got to still get to it in a natural progression in Chapter 4 before you can actually start upgrading stuff. The fact that you don't require tools or a workbench, that is still there and carries over as soon as you find the first workbench, but you can't do anything until that first workbench in Chapter 4. But the other piece is, ironically, make sure to have as many pieces as possible. Scour the environments, trying to find those little bags is what they are, that always contain 5 pieces. A lot of the chests, the bigger chests that you'll find, they house 10, 11. I know it's odd to have 11, but 10 or 11 pieces. Recycle anytime you're given the option because that'll give you extra pieces as well. Just pieces, 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 so that you don't have to worry about it. It's one less thing you got on your shoulders on a New Game Plus run. Next, never use knives to kill soldiers. You can only hold one at once. Always, always hold on to them for use on secret chests. Now, this is not the reason why I missed 3 out of the 10 secret chests. I just somehow did not see a way to get to them or didn't see them at all, which, you know, I typically pride myself on exploring the environments pretty good, but obviously I didn't explore well enough to miss 3 chests. Bottom line is, though, there's no worse feeling in this game than coming to a secret chest and not being able to open it because it requires you to have a knife and use the knife to break the lock to get into the chest. So you're not going to get credit for unlocking the chest if you don't have a knife to break into it. So just never use a knife unless it's on a chest. And always keep an eye out for them, and usually tree stumps or logs or even honestly sometimes wooden fences, they'll just be sitting there. So keep an eye out for them if you don't have one in your inventory. But you always want to make sure to have one in your inventory in between secret chests. So those are just some quick tips that I have for you and my recommendation on making your life easier when trying to go for the platinum in A Plague Tale: Requiem. Now I have something next for you that I haven't done in a long time, and I'm pretty excited about it, and that is an accessory review.
Accessory review.
Gamers, this accessory review is all about the Dark Echo gaming chair. So if you are in need of a gaming chair or an upgrade to the current one that you may have, I am here to let you know my thoughts on the Dark Echo gaming chair. Now, this past Christmas, I had asked for this, and my wife was very kind enough to supply me with it as part of my Christmas. And I opted for a green with a black base and green accents. Now, I will tell you that the one that I received came from Amazon, so you can pick it out on Amazon. You have multiple colors to choose from: purple, black, light blue, pink and white, and red. Lots of many different cool looking colors there, but green is my favorite color, and it made most sense to me. I was like, I got to go with the green. Now, I will say that it has a ton of features that really help sell me on this specific chair. Features such as a headrest pillow, a lumbar back pillow, high quality embroidery, which is important. Obviously, you don't want the stitching coming apart. Elevation control, so the chair can go up and down. A full recline option, so you have multiple degrees of recline, but it has that full recline, which is important if you have the space or if the way you want to position yourself on a TV, it just is a nice option to have. There are also adjustable armrests in elevation, as well as the direction of what the armrests are pointing in, which I will get to here in a second. And then another one that was very interesting to me was a back massager via a USB cable, and then ultimately a footrest. So, I mean, there is a ton of different features that this chair offers you, and a lot of luxury features at that. Now, I will say the headrest pillow for me is crucial because how often have I been sitting here playing on the couch and my head is kind of either slumped backwards in an awkward position, or I'm balling up a blanket to put it behind my neck to support my neck and head? Well, if you're having that same issue, man, that headrest pillow is crucial. The lumbar back pillow is also pretty crucial because, again, sitting on a couch or a bed after extended time and extended play sessions, your back can start to really yell at you. At least mine does. So the lumbar is really, really nice. The elevation control, that doesn't really do so much for me, and neither does the full recline. I like having the recline option. The full recline, I'm not really necessarily, that's got to be me, but as long as I have at least the half recline option, because I do like to be leaned back a little bit instead of just straight as a board up. Now, I will say one of the coolest features that I did not expect to like as much as I did were the adjustable armrests. Now, the elevation is nice because I'm tall, so I sit higher and I have longer arms. So being able to adjust the armrest up or down was nice for me. But the biggest piece was being able to adjust them to the left and right certain degrees, like varying degrees. The reason why is because the way you position your arms to just kind of rest them on the armrest, yeah, it's always kind of awkward, right? Your arm more so is falling off of the armrest than resting on it, at least for me, the way I hold my controller. So for me to be able to angle the armrests in the direction that my arms are angled is perfect because then it's fully supported, both arms. So I loved those adjustable armrests. Now, the footrest is another huge, huge plus for me. Being able to pull that bad boy out and just position myself into a different comfortability position has been amazing. I can't extend the whole way unless I do the full recline because I am tall and have long legs. But the way I'm able to do it at the half recline and support my feet and my legs on it the way that I do, it's perfect for me and works really nice. I tell you though, the interesting thing was the back massager to me. I was very curious how it was going to work. Very simple. There is a USB cord that comes out the back of the body of the chair, and you simply just plug it into a USB port. There's a button on that cord you press, and that will turn on the vibration of the massager. Now, I will say, it feels very nice. It is really nice to be sitting there, have that lumbar pillow, have the massage going on. My detriment to that, it is extremely loud. So even with a headset on, the 3D Pulse headset, I'm sitting there playing a Plague Tale, but the sound of that motor vibrating was just way too loud. And it was kind of intrusive to my gaming experience. So for me, it was a little loud, not saying I won't ever use it again, but it was a little bit too loud. So at the end of the day, my rating for this is going to be a must buy only if you're into it or don't waste your time. That is the three rating options that I'm going to give for myself here. And the rating that I'm going to go with is if you're into it, if you're in need, is basically the best way I can describe it. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. It is not a high-end gaming chair, but it's also not a low-end. I would say it's in a mid-range level of gaming chairs. It's currently on sale for $190 on Amazon. Normal price is $230. So as of the time of this recording, you can get it for less than $200. This is not too bad if you're in the market for a new gaming chair. And, you know, honestly, it can also be a little bit noisy when you're repositioning yourself, kind of like the creaks and groans. And I'm like, man, I've only had this for not even a month. And it's already like kind of creaking and groaning as soon as I'm using it. So outside of the creaks and groans and the loud massager, everything else is really nice. And I've been very overall satisfied with the product. So take a look into it if you're interested. But that's this week's accessory review. Now let's go see what this week's Captain's Decree is. Gamers, this week's Captain's Decree comes straight from my frustration with going after that platinum trophy in A Plague Tale Requiem. And look, I get it. It's a self-inflicted frustration. I don't have to go for the platinum. But if I'm going to go for the platinum, I'm not saying that I want it to be easy or a gimme. I don't mind working for the platinum. But what my decree is this week, don't lock achievements and trophies behind New Game Plus at the game's launch. So what I mean by that is, if you want to add New Game Plus as a separate trophy or other trophies that are required to play through on a New Game Plus post-launch on a separate trophy list or additional achievements, cool, go for it. I'm all for it. But when you release your game on launch day, I would really prefer if it was not mandatory in a way to play through, even if it's only playing through the majority of a game or half the game in order to get the platinum trophy or all 1000G. But my issue here is I have three specific games that I've had experience with that do that. Obviously, A Plague Tale Requiem is the most recent and current one that is I'm experiencing right now. Obviously, you cannot. There is absolutely no way to unlock all three and max out all three play styles in a single playthrough of A Plague Tale Requiem. You have to play through the game a second time. Granted, you may not have to play through the entire 17 chapters a second time, but you're going to have to play through a bulk of the game to unlock and max out all three play styles. And that's a decision that the developer, when they made those trophies, they knew that. So it's just like, man, you didn't do anything like that on Innocence. Like, why did you have to do that for Requiem? Because that's also adding into my drive to get the platinum for Requiem, to be honest, is I got the platinum in Innocence. So it's like, all right, let's continue on. It's A Plague Tale, the series. I'm going to get a platinum in the games in that series. Another game is Miles Morales Spider-Man. Now, this is from a couple years ago, and I absolutely loved, loved, loved that game. You want my detailed thoughts on it? I have a review right here on the channel. Check it out. But man, I loved it so much, I wanted that platinum trophy. And every single trophy you could get, for the most part, in a single playthrough. But when it came time to unlock certain suits, and then a specific trophy for completing New Game Plus, you had to play through the game a second time. Now, granted, the second playthrough was only like 5 hours from start to finish for me. I just flew through the game, the main story. So it was a much shorter experience. But at the same time, man, I had to spend 5 more hours playing through what I had already done just to get those trophies. That's a little frustrating. The third and final game I'll mention here is the Callisto Protocol. Now, I've only played for an hour and a half of this game, but going into it, as I do every game that I play before I play it, I look at the trophy list, achievement list, and I see what I'm looking at, seeing if it's something that's feasible to go after all 1000G or the platinum trophy. And if I decide, okay, cool, you know, if I like this game enough, this could be a platinum trophy, a platinum pursuit, as I call it. Well, the Callisto Protocol, literally every single trophy, I'm looking at the list and I'm like, man, this is a feasible list. Until I get to complete the game on the hardest difficulty, which I know is not beating the game on New Game Plus, and I know they did not launch with a New Game Plus. That just launched as an update with a specific trophy of beating the game on New Game Plus. But my point here is, difficulty, beating the game on the hardest difficulty, it's falling right there for me with New Game Plus. And then the fact that they released a New Game Plus with a trophy for beating the game on New Game Plus, it's just like, ah, here we go. I will be honest, though. From what I understand, the game is short as it is, but it already is enticing me to consider actually playing through it a second time on New Game Plus, just to get that platinum trophy and that newer complete on New Game Plus trophy. I just really wish that developers would get away from that. And I know they want people to continue to play their games, but release downloadable content, like new expandable content that expands what you already have there, not require people to play through or ask people to play through the same content a second time. Maybe it's just me, but that's the way I feel, and that's this week's Captain's Decree. That'll do it for this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed your time aboard the SS Gamer. You can join its crew by reaching out to me via email at lostatseagaming365@gmail.com, as well as searching for Hulking Yoda on the Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo Switch networks. You can also find me on social media on Instagram at lostatseagaming and on Twitter at lostatseagamin, the number one. Thank you for listening, and until the sea says otherwise, we'll keep sailing.